Hello.
Good morning, Andy. It's time for you to start your radio show. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Andy Lopez, the invisible gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen, or you can call in and talk directly to the Invisible Gardener right here on bbsradio.com/don't panic, it's organic. That's Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon on bbsradio.com/don't panic, it's organic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy. Oh, look at that. Yep.
Question of the hour, and you will answer to me. To your best of company, to hear your soil and make you laugh too. So don't panic. Oh, it's organic.
That's as I said before, that's Jeffrey, my friend. He wrote the music for me.
Oh, it's organic. The way that's.
So how are we all doing today? Thank you for stopping by. And our continuing series of dirt. I hate to call it dirt. I hate it when people call soil dirt. You know, dirt is what you sweep out the front door. I keep telling people that. I've been saying that forever, you know. People call me up, my dirt's not doing well. I'm going, oh boy. Anyway. This is Andy Lopez. I'm better known as the Invisible Gardener. But you all know that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this. So, but if you're brand new and you're wondering who am I, then that's who I am. this month, there's always stuff going on here, which is cool because that's what I mean to do, right? That's what I want to do. So. If you're not getting my newsletter, you should be. The newsletter comes out several times per month. I used to do it every week, and people say, well, you know, we get so much stuff in the email, I only don't want it every week. And once a month was too long, so everybody decided every, you know, twice a month. If you want the newsletter more often, just say so. I might do a, I forget what it is now, where you ask people what they think about it, you know, and survey. I could do a survey, see what they think about it. But I send it out at the beginning of every month and in the middle of the month again. And only I'll send it out if there's a special occasion or something, you know. Like when I have a guest, for sure, I would send something out, let people know there's a guest going to be on. Before I forget, so I announced the contest winners last week, I don't announce them every week, but the contest is, we have a new contest, and this month, the winner, will get the, they're going to get the Don't Panic, It's Organic, mug. I have a little a coffee mug. It's a Don't Panic, It's Organic coffee mug. If you're not a member, you'll get the lifetime membership as well. If you're already a member, you can just tell me you're a member and I'll come up with something different for you. I think what I'm going to do is I'm probably going to be sending, giving a member a choice. I decided to give I'm thinking about making it so that, you know, when you say you're a member, and then if I tell you that you've won as a member, you have your choice of either getting the grower's kit. The grower's kit is probably the best. No, I didn't mean the grower's kit. Sorry, I didn't mean that. I meant either rock dust or the super seaweed. I think when I think about it, the grower's kit is really, it's a lot to give away, but it's really not a bad prize because the grower's kit is basically 5 pounds of Invisible Gardener's rock dust blend, which is really cool. It's never the same thing because I'm always running into really new sources of rock dust. So I have it shipped to me. I recently ran into a really cool source of 14 different types of rock dust. Not all of it is pelletized. I like dealing with pelletized, but so almost all the rock dust now in the market now are in a fine powder, which it should be. That's the way you deal with. You want to, even if you get to pelletize. The only reason why I get pelletized rock dust because it's real easy to apply. I don't put it in my sprayer. I can't do the rock dust in my sprayer. You can, you have to apply the rock dust in a different device. The pump won't do well with any kind of rock dust in the water. But I can get a little hand pump spray the rock dust tea if I make tea with it. The main reason why you want it fine is because you want to apply it to the soil. Ideally, you're making in your process of making compost, you always add a certain amount of rock dust, so a blend is really nice. If you're going to be making a rock dust tea, that you not necessarily have to spray, because you can add a certain amount of rock dust to clean water, and you can actually, it depends how weird you are, to what extent you want to go into details what I've done before is I have gotten, I would get, in the process of making compost tea, I've learned that lots of different things you can make very same way you make a compost tea. And in the process of doing the compost tea, I learned that you can get it when you aerate it. So when you're making compost tea, you normally would aerate it. You run little bubbles through it. You do it overnight. Aeration will increase the microbial activity 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, take, for example, a rock dust mixture that incorporates the microbial activity into the mix. That's the best kind of liquid spray you can come up with, which it would be a highly microbially alive, right? Has all the different microbes already in the water, because when you percolate the air through it, they get more oxygen. They go, hoo-hoo, yeah, whippy, right? And they get more, there's more of them. If you look through a microscope, you'll see there's tons and tons more. If you provide for them the microbes, right? If you provide the microbes with the minerals, the microbes will eat the minerals, because that's what they do. That's their job. The microbes will eat the minerals. Right? Okay, so, gee whiz, I just turned this off. No, I didn't. Yeah, okay. So, when you make a tea of the, and you have a blend, like one reason, as I said before about blends, is that you want to get various different sources of minerals together. Oh, by the way, I should be giving out the phone numbers, because if you have today, what I'm talking about is diseases, right? This whole month is all about diseases, right? And so, and this particular I'm talking about is diseases. Show I'm talking about is diseases in trees, in fruit trees specifically, but also there's palms I will be covering, and I'll be covering a little bit on other varieties of trees as well. Fruit trees are something that, you know, we all are probably growing a citrus or something in the backyard. And so, if you have a question about any of your fruit trees or herb trees, and you want to talk to me, because that's what I really do here. That's the whole purpose of it, is to be able to communicate back and forth with you and help you with your immediate problems. I tell people I don't do marital problems, but I have helped a lot of families stay together, because a good old boy wants to use what he doesn't care what he does, uses as long as it solves a problem. But if it does work, I mean, it does work, and if you can do it organically, why not, right? Naturally, without using the chemicals, and it still works just as well, why not? So the number here is 888-627-6008. You should know that by now. You should write it up on the wall somewhere, and you can look at it, right, and call in. And then there's a direct line. It's 323-944-4831. And of course, since we use Skype, it's the Skype, what is it, Skype ID for is BBS Radio PR. BBS Radio PR. Now, there are several different ways that people communicate with me, right? I charge, as a consultant, I charge $250 per hour for my time. And it's well worth that. I still am having dental surgery, so I'm talking like Bunny Rabbit or, Wilbur. But you're lucky because here I am, see, and I can talk to you. And what I've been doing for a long, long time is I set up a club that allows people to talk to me on a forever basis. You pay one small price, it's $55 for a lifetime. You get my $20 book. So it's only $35 really, Plus you have to pay for the shipping as well, It's not, but then you can talk to me. I have an organic hotline. People call me up on that number. I please call between 5 and 9, but don't call at 9 because the phone's going off at 9. But and then during the day, you can take your chances. Sometimes I'm usually here 80% of the time, 70% of the time. I do work. I go out and do stuff, so I'm gone. But if you call during the 5 to 9 period, I'm here for that. Take your chances during the day. Saturday, if you call now, you better to call me on the radio show. I prefer that you email me with your question. And then if you want to talk on the show, that'd be great. We can make it a date for you to appear on the show. The engineer will call you, so you just have to give me your email. Give me a phone number through the email, and then we can talk. That's what I love talking. I love one of the... My favorite thing, not necessarily, I love talking. I love talking with people. I love helping people solve their gardening problems. I've been very good at what I do, so I like to pass it on to people. That's what all my books are about. That's what my latest book is called, Don't Panic, It's Organic, and you should get it. If you don't have it, then you're missing out on something because, I only pass this way once. And once I'm gone, who knows if it'll continue or not. And since I'm the publisher, it's not like there are millions and millions of these on the market now. And there's two versions of this book. One's the color version, which is even going to be even more on demand because it's I'm only doing like a few hundred of them. And they're going for $100 each. Normally they would go, when I had them up for Amazon, they wanted $350. And I said, no, you can't sell them for $350. So it's a color, because one's a color version and one's a black and white version. And the color version is absolutely amazing. The black and white version is okay. It's fine, in terms of the artwork, because it's beautiful. It doesn't cost as much, But the information is still the same, okay? And it's really a manual of not just organic gardening, but of sustainable of a sustainable lifestyle. And it's also that's why I say in the beginning of the book is learn how to work with Mother Nature instead of against her. It's also a way to help her, because I talk a lot about the soil. Every time you hear me talk to you, I always manage to come around to talk about the soil. And that's what the show here is about. It has to do with how to control pests and diseases in plants, animals, and what does the soil have to do with it, right? What does the soil have to do with diseases, right? You'd be surprised. A lot of people don't know that. I have the faintest idea what the soil has to do with diseases, right? They don't know. What role the soil plays, right, in controlling pests and diseases, in these trees and palms and stuff. Last month I talked about pest control and what role does the soil play in natural pest control, right? And that was last month, and I hope that you if you weren't here. Then what I would do is The show is available up on, you can get at it in several different ways. You can always get at it from the radio station right here on bbsradio.com. It's just, you know, I have a page, Don't Panic, It's Organic. It should have the podcast. Well, you can get the podcast, but it'll have the show. You can click on it and listen to it and or download it. Ideally, yes, you should get the podcast of the show. You can get the podcast in several different ways, one from the station or one from my website. You probably may also be listening to it through different other types of podcast systems out there, since this station goes out to a lot of podcasts. Enormous amount of the show is really, really widely getting out there. And then I also post it on iTunes. Well, this station also does on iTunes, so there's several different versions of my show up on iTunes. I also post it on my own, so my members get my sign up for my podcast. They get not only this show but all the other shows I do, and when I'm on a guest on other shows, I always post a podcast back up here. Okay, so let's see. So today I want to talk about I want to cover some causes. I want to talk a little bit about the relationship between what a brix is and what a refractometer does, and how that relates to diseases, right? And I also want to talk a little bit about, you heard me talk a little bit about compost tea, how that can be useful for disease control, right? And so, I'm going to talk a lot about minerals. And when I talk about, I've been doing this a longer time. And so I always talk about the law of cause and effect. I have to do this. Wait a second. Okay. I just had to do it. Jackie couldn't help it. Don't forget to stay tuned for my cosmic spaceship coming up right after the show. So I started doing tree care in, I think 1970. Well, it depends how I look at it, because when I got out of the service, I started doing Invisible Gardener. I started my company, Invisible Gardener, in 1970. But before that, before I went in service, as a kid, I was always very good at growing things. So, but even though I didn't have the business and I wasn't charging money for it then, I was doing it way before that. But that was so in the 1970s when I first started charging money, right, to do that. So it was right 1971, 72, 73, 74, somewhere along in there. Because during that time, I was also going to school, University of Florida in Gainesville. I was also going to Santa Fe Community College, which is now Santa Fe University, I think. And it's in Gainesville, Florida. So I was really busy doing stuff. But one of the very first experience I had with trees and with diseases and pests was a lady had an ant problem, and she wanted to know what was going on. And it turns out, to make a long story short, that the ants, it was a sick tree that was attracting the ants. The ants were climbing up the tree. There were so many of them up in the tree, they would fall down onto her roof and come in from the ceiling into her house. That's what she kept saying. Look, they're up there. They're coming down. Well, how can they do that? What's going on? Is this the end of the world? So, that's how I got on the path of understanding what the relationship is. Because I would say, well, why are the ants going up the tree? Are they just using it as a path to get to the house? No. There was the ants were climbing up the tree because the tree was giving off sap, and the sap was being picked up by the ants and brought back to their colony. They were also bringing aphids up there, were attacking the tree. So in essence, the tree was having a problem. And so I said, okay, so the trees, if you looked at it, you know, you could look at it and say, well, normally in life, that's what happens. They get old, they die, they get attacked, they get eaten up by everything else. Yeah, that's the natural cycle of things, all right. But there was a tree next to it that wasn't being bothered at all. It looked about the same age, more likely it was younger, you know, and ants were going after that one. So it could be, well, age, right? So if the tree gets older, it's just, you know, it has to get recycled. And if you look at it that way, that's true. But the way I look at it is, okay, what does age have to do with, how does age contribute to, you know, the ants attacking this tree being attacked, right? Well, the answer is obviousness to me in the sense that what happens is that the older you get, the harder it is for you to digest the minerals, to absorb minerals, to get the minerals needed into your body, right? See? And so it comes down to, and then that's what happens a lot of times with trees, whether it be fruit trees or palm trees, whenever they get attacked by a disease. And these are not old ones, right? These are fairly decent. They were healthy up until they weren't, right? It's because they're not getting their trace minerals. And there's one, one of the sources of trace minerals that I get is a place called C90, S-E-A-90. It has literally 90 trace minerals. Which reminds me, I need to go out there. When I make my super seaweed and when I make my sprays for my customers, I always use a wide blend of different sources of minerals. C90 really covers it really well. 90, right? There's 96 of them, but right, 90. So that's great. So I use that when I'm making my teas, when I'm making my sprays, and especially when I'm going to treat a tree. So that's the first thing I do. I don't even need to know, right, what the pest or the disease is. It's like a doctor, you know, it has a guy coming in from emergency, right, you know. There's certain things he has to do right away that he knows he has to do, regardless of what's going on. And it's the same thing with me is that when I go see a tree, well, first time when I go see a tree, I just, you know, it's like a house call. I go there and talk to the people. They show me what's going on, you know. And I used to, in my youth, just carry what I needed in the truck. And I was just, well, I'm there treated. Now as I get older, I would come back because I can't carry so much around anymore. But essentially, the first thing I would do is making sure that tree is getting a wide source of minerals. It does no good to apply it to the soil because you would say, well, just put it in the soil and the roots would suck it up, right? Therein lies the problem. So the real problem that the tree is having is a problem in the soil. And or the roots. Now, the roots are having a problem because they're in the soil. It means the soil is having a problem. It's not, you know, see what I'm saying, right? So it's like they're all interconnected. If you have a problem with one chain, you can have a problem with the whole thing. It won't flow through that way. So if the soil has to be working in order for the roots to be working, and the roots have to be working in order for the tree to get the minerals it needs. Spread out, you know, and then even then with the roots working, the tree has to be working. The tree has to be able to take the minerals from the roots and spread it out amongst its body. That's another function. There's a name for that. You can, and that, and that, there's a test you can take, and you can also look at a plant. If you look at a plant, it's like there's some areas that are lighter than other areas, and you can clearly see that that part is not getting the nutrient it needs, yet the plant over there on another part of that same plant, the rest of the plant is looking really good. So you know that the minerals and so forth are not getting transferred throughout the plant or the tree. So it's so the first thing I do is to, and I learned as a kid, you know, just putting it in the ground ain't going to do it. Eventually it will, because that's part of the thing you have to do is when I talk about long-term and short-term solutions, right? There's always a long-term solution that you have to deal with first, because that is the cause. Okay, that's a cause. So if the soil is having a problem, it takes a while to bring the soil back in shape, right? And lots of things that have to be done that are not being done in terms of making the soil function. And if you get the soil to function, right, then you're going to be bringing the root systems back, hopefully, if they're not too dead. Sometimes they have to produce a whole entirely new root system. But usually the roots will reactivate if the living organisms are there to move back into their apartments. That's basically the way it works. They live in little apartments, and their job is to transfer the minerals from in the soil into the roots of the tree. That's their job. That's how it works. They have little factories. Not just apartments. It'd be like little factories there. And the factories are really, really small, and they have root hairs. The trees have root hairs. If you were able to look at a tree's root hairs, you know, root system, without damaging the tree, some kind of, you know, device you could look down there, you will be able to see the difference between a healthy tree and an unhealthy tree. A tree that's trying to survive in a unhealthy soil environment, as opposed to a tree that's surviving in a healthy soil environment. And the main difference right off the bat would be the root hairs. One would have no root hairs, and one would have trillions of root hairs. Gee, I wonder which one, right? So it comes down to how, it's the same thing with the body, same thing with our bodies. As a matter of fact, all living things pretty much evolved from the soil. Think about it. Birds, bees, and everything you see around us has that relationship to the soil. Now, we evolved, and we decided we're going to make our own little package. We're going to wrap ourselves up, our soil up, and take it with us, basically. That's what our stomach is. Everything else is wrapping around the soil and different ways to make that soil function, but that's what our stomach is. Same thing with animals. So we still have a connection to it. The soil, we cannot survive not eating anything that comes from the soil. Think about it. So if you go into space, you're still going to be bringing something that you're going to normally be eating from the soil, whether it be hydroponics or whatever. Eventually, you have your own form of soil that you're going to be providing the food for you eat that you need. And your animals up there will be doing the same thing, eating. You have to set up your own soil again. But for now, this is our soil. And so the tree can't get up and move away. The tree can't change the environment around it to suit it, so the tree will die if the conditions are not right for it in the soil. And when the trace minerals are deficient in the soil, then the tree not only acts differently, but looks differently, and it looks differently to the insects, and it looks differently to the pests, right? And the soil is a interesting living being. The mycelium is an interesting living being in that it's centuries, millions and millions of years old. And I can talk to you about the consciousness of the mycelium, right? When we talk about Gaia, when we talk about the planet Earth, we talk about a she, right? You know, we say this is a conscious being. We refer to it as a conscious being. It depends on what what form of religion, what form of practice you use, you know. But the mycelium has, everything has evolved and with a relationship on the mycelium. the mycelium. It's a mycelium that takes the minerals, whether it be iron, copper, magnesium, you know, you name the minerals, and transforms it. It does that by assimilating the minerals, and the way it assimilates the minerals is it uses carbon. It takes carbon and forms a carbonic acid. That carbonic acid literally dissolves the minerals and forms them into a liquid form or a ionic form that then is available to be absorbed, assimilated through the root hairs into the tree. And all that the tree does, and it depends on, for example, if you're going to be eating it, right? So one of the reasons why we eat vegetables and so forth is because that vegetable and that fruit have transmitted the minerals that they've gotten from the soil into their food, into their body, whether it be the tomato, right, or the lettuce or the corn or the, right? And it's the same thing with the tree. It's transmitted. We're not eating the tree, but we can eat the lettuce. Then we get the minerals. And that's what they're saying. They call it dense food now, right? Dense food, right? It's saying it's dense with the minerals, right? And what's interesting about all this is that and I still don't understand it. And in a way, I do, because it has to do with money. It has to do with this is what is embedded into you. Go get this weed killer to kill the weeds, and you'll be fine. Keep using their other stuff, or eat this, and you can continue to eat the junk food, and you'll be fine. Or if you have a bug, get this pesticide and kill it. Or if you have a disease, get this herbicide or fungicide or whatever to kill the disease. You don't see ads that say, take good care of your soil, and everything will be fine. You won't need us anymore. You don't see that, do you? Well, that's the same thing with the doctors. You don't see ads that say, hey, if you guys were to eat good, organically grown food, exercise, and blah, blah, stay away from the chemicals, you probably wouldn't need us too much. But oh no, keep eating what you're going to eat and take these here pill and visit me twice a month for the rest of your life. So, The parallels between, well, just fruit trees alone, for example, because fruit trees and trees is amazing in that that's what happens, you know, when your body is no longer able to absorb the trace minerals that you need, you will be, things will be attracted to you, whether they, your bones break, whether you, you know, you have a heart attack or whether you have one disease or another. And the same thing with the, and there are different things, you know, different, and human beings are different things attack them, right? And as they do for trees and fruit trees, right? You're not going to get a shot hole borer boring into you, or a bark beetle, right? And because everything has evolved, we have all evolved to specialize, right? So the bark beetle goes after a specific type of trees. The shot hole borer will go after a specific type of trees. Citruses will have specific types of diseases as opposed to apples, as opposed to pears, as opposed to, right, to banana. But they all have the same thing in common. They all have the same thing in common. They all go right back down to the soil. And what happens at below, underground in the soil. And in our soil is our stomach. So, you know, what you eat and put in your body will affect your whole body. It's the same thing with the earth. What the earth eats will affect the whole body, whether it be the trees or fruit trees or whatever. And so, you know, I can talk to you a lot about specific diseases, right? You can say, well, you know, I have this black stuff on my leaves on my citrus, right? That's called sooty mold. That happens because ants are attacking the tree, and actually ants don't do the attacking. Ants herd, right? They herd different pests, from mealybugs to aphids. And what they all those pests have in common is that they attack the tree, their plant, the fruit, or whatever, and the aphids milk the aphids or the pests, right? They get a nectar from it. That's how that's. And remember I said about the trees, the ants climbing up the tree? Well, that sap is very, very similar to a nectar, and they can get at it before it hardens. It takes a long time for it to harden to like amber. But they also have, you know, different the flowers of the trees have a nectar in them. There's different sources of nectars in trees and plants, right? So, but the ants specifically use the aphids and mealybugs and other various different pests to get nectar from it, because they take them down into their colony and they have like a cow. And ants have two stomachs, right? One with for them to eat, and the other one to take the nectar down into the colony and to feed their to put it into their food resources and their food supplies, which feed the queen and so on, right? So one of the, so if we're talking about the soil, right? And so we need to look at it and say, okay, well, doesn't it make sense that if you take care of the soil and you do all the right things to the soil, that your trees, whether it be fruit trees, whatever, will do much better. Also, if they're already, if there's something wrong with them, the sooner you get into the soil, the sooner you start working with the soil, the sooner the soil will start, you know, recovering, and the sooner your trees will recover as well. Because the sooner when the soil recovers, the fruit trees recover, or the trees recover. And normally in nature, Mother Nature is really good at feeding the soil. So she has set up amazing, or she had set up, because we have really ruined that to a big, big, massive degree of, you know, naturally fertilizing the soil, of naturally recycling the soil, of keeping the soil alive. You know, it goes back to, you know, we have millions and millions of birds, and even just thousand years ago, we had a lot more birds, right? Animals. 10,000 years ago, even much more so. 100,000 years ago, you know, right? So we had so many animals and roaming all over the place doing their things. What are their things? Well, they eat, poop, and die. Basically, right? Right? Eat, poop, and die. And that's a perfect recycling mechanism right there, to provide for the soil. Because when they eat, they take stuff in from, they pick this up, they eat that, eat this and that. Different creatures, right, would eat different things, right? Because they ate different things, they would accumulate different minerals. But certain things are rich in minerals, and certain minerals in other things, right? And then when they get it into their stomach, they have their own memory set that the soil. You have a moving, in Star Trek they call it, it was one line about bags of water, moving bags of water. The aliens call it, you are moving bags of water. But it was referring to the human body enclosed by this liquid, basically we're 90-something% water, the skin enclosed it. I felt it was, you know, really a great reference to our bags of water of our stomach, because he could have been referring to that too. But so the stomach is very, it's like the soil, and a lot, you know, it's perfect, it mirrors the soil. Okay, and I even take it one step further. I said soil, S-O-I-L, or soul, S-O-U-L. There's lots of relationship between the two. So in terms of the soil, in terms of what we can do to help your fruit trees come together and help your trees come together, is you have to pay attention to, you know, the basics, right? You have to pay attention to minerals. So I tell people, look, it's called soil depletion. Okay, so unless you put it in, you ain't gonna get it out. Okay. And like I was saying before, you know, before the animals would, and then of course, eat, poop, and die. So when they die, they will be returning the minerals. They will, you know, decompose, and everything in their body will return the minerals, whether it be calcium, magnesium, iron, whatever's in the body, the bones and everything, right? And when's the last time somebody's come and eat, pooped, and died in your place, right? An animal or a bird or whatever. There used to be trillions of birds eat, pooping, and dying, right? And so, and animals will roam from one part of the planet over there to another part of the planet, right? They will roam from one hemisphere, you know, roam all over the place. The bisons were like trillions and trillions of bisons roam up and down the United States, roam, eat over here, poop over there, fly over here. It was an amazing, rich soil. That's why when we got there, we say, look how this soil is so rich, and what do we do with it? We turn it into the Dust Bowl, right? So it's interesting in that we have managed over the short period of time that we've been here to totally disrupt the Earth's recycling systems. We have been cutting down trees. You know, we've done the whole thing. I will be doing a show on that, you know, climate change and the whole thing, so you can get my point of view from it. This is not about that, but this is about the soil. And the soil is taking on major damage because, one, as I said before, maybe not on this show, but I said that, you know, the soil plays a big part in taking carbon out of the air and storing it and using it. And that's how it does it. It takes the carbon, forms carbon dioxide, it forms a carbonic acid, which is like carbon, takes CO2, forms a carbonic acid, which eats through any metal, right? So whether it be iron, magnesium, it just eat through that. And then dissolve it, and then transform it into an edible form for eventually for you and me. But eventually we die too, and we get eaten by the mycelium. Because remember, I keep telling people the mycelium is the beginning of the food chain and the end of the food chain. We're here just food for this being. When we die, mycelium will get at us, will eat us. So it's to his advantage to have the healthiest food, right? Didn't know I could play a congo, did you? Okay, so let me just go over some things with you really fast on how to help the soil in the long run, right? Main thing you have to do is you have to make the world's best compost. And you have to understand why you're making compost, because you're part of Mother Nature's recycling program. So you want to imitate her in how you make your compost. That means you want to get the bacteria and the minerals together, let them go at it, and put it back in the soil. I made that really simple for you, okay? So you would get the minerals and the microbes, the two M's, M squared, minerals and microbes, put it back into the soil. And you get the microbes, you only get the microbes from the animals. You don't get the microbes from anything else. Get it? Remember in the past, all the animals, whether it be birds, bees, trees, I mean, lions and tigers and elephants, oh my, right? Whatever it's, even fishes. So it's all living beings produce poop and they die and they all kinds of recycling things, right? So you have to, when you're making compost, have some sorts of microbes that you want to add back to it. So that would be any animal other than carnivorous. You have rabbits, chicken, sheep, goat, cow, horse. I've got an elephant, llama manure. You know, earthworm castings, by the way, is the best manure. I've told you, I got elephant manure. It's also one of the best. And they have each have different microbial life in them, in the manure, different ones. I've recently got some buffalo manure, just so I can propagating the buffalo microbes that there, the specific buffalo ones, right? So if you can get a blend of them, then you're going to have a really nice blend of microbes. You also really should start, because nowadays you can buy mycelium. You can order mycelium from various different sources online, and that's what I do. I have 20 or 30 different sources of mycelium, which I also add to, because I can't get a really good source of the different type of animal manure as I used to, you know, live on. I'd rather live on a farm, right, and be able to do it. But I live in a condo, and I can't have a pile of manure in the backyard anymore. Anyway, right. But if I could, I would, because in Miami, I would go out to the farm and get chicken manure, llama manure from one place, horse manure from another place, you know, rabbit manure from another place. You know, blend them all together, and that would be. What goes into my compost mix, right? And to that compost mix, I would add as many different sources of rock dust as I can get my hands on, from gypsum to soft rock phosphate to azomite to agriwin to glacial rock dust to, right? There's, I'm getting about maybe 20 different varieties of rock dust now. There's probably more, but I just haven't, I mean, I know there's more, but I'm not shipping, you know, I'm not picking up papers and local directories from around the world. So this, a really good source is remineralization.org. They have a resource section that shows all the different sources around the world. Joanna, I'm trying to get you on my show, so hang in there. She's the director of the remineralization.org. Let's see. So we have about 10 more minutes or so. So that's going to take a little while to do. So I tell people you want to do rock dust, compost, and mulch. One of the things that's really interesting now is that there are more and more organic fertilizers in the market that have a wide blend of mycorrhizae to them. Now, I don't know if this is going to sound like an ad or not, but, you know, I've been a user of Dr. Earth's organic fertilizers for years now. It's always been, you know, I've only been able to find it in certain places. And only recently I was happy to find it was available in my local nursery. Armstrong Nursery over here is carrying all the nice stuff. They're carrying their compost. They have an excellent mulch. It's a soil amendment. They have an excellent, several different types of organic fertilizers for roses, for fruit trees. And they all have a wide, wonderful blend of mycorrhizae in them. And it's exactly one of the things you have to add to the soil. And that's one reason why they would work good, because if you just had the fertilizer, many times I tell people, look, so you have a good organic fertilizer, but if you don't have any mycelium, any mycorrhizae in this soil, it's not going to work as well, because they're not there to transfer the fertilizer to the trees. Duh, right? Right? Because another lady emailed me and said, Andy, and she told me this story. Basically, she's been organic. She said all her life, and she's having this problem with the citrus, and it's yellowing, and she's gotten this organic fertilizer or that organic fertilizer, and it doesn't work. So the next door neighbor says, you're having a hard time. What's the matter? She explained it to him, and he said, well, here, use this, which was a chemical fertilizer, high nitrogen base. He went out there and applied it for her. Within a few days, whoosh, it was beautiful green color, right? Big time green. And so she said, well, what does that mean? That organic doesn't work or what? What's going on? And I explained to her that your soil was dead. You can add all organic fertilizers you want to, but if there's nothing there to eat the fertilizer and make it out of a tree, it's not going to work. Chemical fertilizers don't need anything in the soil. It gets injected right into your tree. That's why If you're using any type of chemical fertilizer in the soil, and remember I talked about root hairs, right? Well, it destroys the root hairs because it doesn't need anybody there. It goes right into the tree. See, so whenever you have a tree that doesn't have root hair, that means it's been chemically fertilized, which almost is hard, you know, it's getting, it, I'm hoping that there should be more and more organic fertilization going on, but there's really lots more chemical fertilization going on. Especially it's really bad, for example, if you have a tree that's surrounded by a lawn being fed chemically, right? Or, you right? See what I'm saying? And so, yeah, you get that tree, because another, I'm not going to give the name of the college, but they contacted me and they say, we have 10,000 white willows, and they're, and we already lost 2,000 or 3,000 white willows to a borer. Now, I think it was a shot-hole borer. I think it was, I may be wrong, or a bark beetle. It was, I think it was a bark beetle. Not sure. One of the other ones. No, it was a shot-hole borer, right? Because the shot-hole borer is very different than the bark beetle, but several ways, because one way is that when it drills a hole, it drills a little hole into the tree. It plants a fungus into the tree and lays an egg. When the egg hatch, the fungus has grown more because the fungus eating from the tree, and the baby eats the fungus, and the baby goes away, you know, flies away. And the bark beetle is a little different. That the bark beetle just drills a hole in there and lays the eggs and goes away, and the little baby comes up and eats from the bark. But they both have the same thing in common, in that, right, trace mineral deficiency. It's usually one of the exotics. Remember I said 96 trace minerals? Well, you know, all you hear about is iron, calcium, you know, magnesium if you're lucky, you know, let's see what other ones. You know, I mean, those are the basic ones, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, right? Calcium, iron, magnesium, right? Most people don't go past those, right? See what I'm saying? So imagine if you're down to number 98 or 87 or 90, you know, those are exotics. And you won't believe some of the exotics you really need have, like cadmium, mercury, lead. These are exotics, but they're needed in the there also. You have it in your body as well. But they're super exotic that you don't need. You know what trace minerals is. These are like super trace minerals. They're like really tiny, small amounts. You don't have that, there's a problem. See what I'm saying? Gold is another one. We have gold in our system, you know. The exotic ones, that's why I get a blend. That's why I try to get a blend, not only to have a mix of all the different sources of minerals, because that's also really good too, to have different sources of the minerals. That's why I use a C90 as well as a rock dust. The rock dust have to come through the soil into the root, through the root systems, right into the tree, whereas the C90 comes through the leaves and the trunk into the tree. Gee, I'm giving away all my secrets. I don't know, man. I probably shouldn't do this anymore. You know, next thing you know, it'll be somebody out there doing the same thing I'm doing. yeah. This song is called It's Our Earth, by the way. I haven't started to write to it. I'm working on. I do poetry and stuff too, but I'm very bad at singing. So I'm working on a voice changer that allows me to sing But I have, the voice changer doesn't want to work with the program of the music. What, it's either one or the other. You know, you either have to have this one because they, you know, they have different audio requirements. So I'm trying to, and then this way I'm doing the show now through Skype is I have this special virtual cable that allows me to do my music and channel it through, into the to Skype. So there's a little conflict of interest going on in there. But if I can get my voice to change and to do my thing, with, I might just start, singing to it. So anyway, next week, so I'm hoping that I helped you a little bit in understanding the, I'm hearing something, I don't know what that is, understanding the importance of minerals. That's one reason why many people overwater the trees, right? That's one reason why when you overwater, you're damaging the soil, damaging the process of getting the minerals, right? Damaging how the minerals are converted and how they are eventually assimilated. It all happens in the soil. I tell people the microbes are not very good swimmers. See what I'm saying? So if you overwater, you destroy the soil. That's what happens when you have waterlogged soil, okay? And talk about ants, they bring to the tree a variety of other diseases. As a matter of fact, that's the way the system works, because there are many diseases that come with certain pests, and those pests are the ones that basically say, let me take you to this perfect tree that you'll be able to grow in, and because you'll grow in, you'll be good for me too. See, right? Okay, so that's why you want to key into, and it's not really that important as to which particular pest or disease it is. If you key into the health of the soil, why am I talking funny, right? You're going to find that it's going to be so easy to control the rest, right? And there are other things that you eventually will figure out. Like, for example, cleaning your tools. You talk about palm trees and diseases in palms, which, by the way, I'm going to continue with, because I do want to talk more about palms. So I haven't talked at all about palms, but I will. I have a few more weeks left in this month, and it's all going to be about diseases. I'm going to talk about specific diseases, especially if you have a specific disease or pest in mind. I'll be happy to talk to you about that. Because I can give you immediate results. There are certain things you can do to control these diseases while at the same time you're working at controlling, getting the soil back in shape again. And if you haven't gotten my newsletter, I don't know what you're waiting for, right? just go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, and click on, it'll say newsletter there. Fill it out. Don't forget to put the click the button for contest. You can get entered in the contest. And then you get entered in the contest the first time. Then when you get the newsletter, you just click on enter me in this month's contest. And so thank you for – I think you got another minute or so. I don't know. Yeah. So my show, Cosmic Spaceship, is coming up next. And I play my I write my own music. I do something – a new song almost every day now. It's just fun to do. And I'm thinking of doing something different. I'm probably not going to do it this time, Mr. Engineer. I told him I was going to do something different. I might. I'm thinking of just maybe eventually doing some, creating some songs live on the air and see what happens. But I'm chicken. I got something seconds. Something, my voice. Every once in a while I'm talking, I hear my voice in my head. I don't know what's going on. So thank you very much for listening to my show, guys. And I'll be back next week. Visit invisiblegardener.com. Okay, I have over 90-something videos on YouTube. Check them out. I think we got some time. Maybe I'll just play this thing over here like this. No, that doesn't work. Yeah, it works.